The Lord speaks to us in two different parts tonight. The first from the sixth chapter of Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And the second portion comes from the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, and who say to Zion, your God reigns. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, God, we desperately need you to fill up our words with your word, that it would be your voice that we hear. God, that we would be transformed as we look on your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking the last few weeks about the armor of God. And this passage from Ephesians that we've been reading every week has reminded us that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood people are not our enemies. But we battle against powers and principalities of this dark world and the powers of the heavenly places. And so we need to be equipped. And if you're anything like me, I usually go running out half prepared. So it strikes me that two times in this passage, as we've talked about already, Paul says, put on the full armor of God. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. And so my prayer is that we look at each one of these pieces of armor, that it will give us at least maybe some practical way that we can put on this full armor of God in our own lives as we stand firm after it's all been said and done. And so we've talked already a little bit out of order about the helmet of salvation. We've talked about the breastplate of righteousness. Last week we talked about the belt of truth. And as always, if you've missed any of them and you're interested, those messages are almost always on the church's website. You can always go take a peek on Thursday's message or Sunday's message if you want to see something that you missed. But tonight we come to the shoes that are ready with the gospel of peace. I think sometimes when we think about spreading the gospel, when we think about witnessing to other people, we sometimes call it evangelism. I think it makes most of us really nervous. Very few of us probably are really comfortable sharing our faith. And there's all sorts of reasons for that, but sometimes one of the reasons is we feel unqualified. We feel like we don't have all the theology down pat. We feel like somebody might ask us a question that we might not have the answer to. And so we're hesitant. Sometimes we're hesitant because we think people might think we're nuts. You know, they might think we're one of them. Those religious fanatics, those zealots, those holier than thou. And the more I walk with Jesus, I realize that we have to get to a place in our walk where we really don't care so much if people think we're nuts. But sometimes that's what keeps us from sharing. Sometimes we don't share our faith because we think people don't want to hear it because they're offended by it. I'm reminded of a definition I read once about evangelism, which to me is such a beautiful, perfect, apt definition. And I don't even know whose quote this is. Said, this is what evangelism is. One beggar telling another where to find bread. And I'm reminded that we can't begin to share our faith, to share our relationship with Jesus Christ until we have one. It's more than a theological thought, more than some doctrine that we have embraced intellectually. But we need to have this relationship, this faith pressed into our lives. You know, if you have significant people in your life, whether they be a spouse or your children or your parents or your friends, hardly anybody has to remind you to talk about them, right? Like, I don't have to gear myself up with my friends to tell a story about Tom. It just naturally comes to me because he's a huge part of my life. And so what happens in his life, what happens with my life are frequently intertwined. And so it's very natural to have my conversation peppered with his name. I've always, my kids are a little bit shy when they first start dating someone, and I can always kind of tell when they're starting to be interested in somebody because their conversation is peppered with that person's name. So I have to ask myself, why then is it so difficult for us to talk about Jesus if we're in relationship with him, if we're spending time with him, if he's filling our hearts and our lives with his presence? Maybe we need to stop trying to worry about having our theology straight or handing out tracts and just start living our relationship with Jesus Christ and let it spill over. Evangelism is an interesting thing, and the way that people come to faith is a very interesting thing. I know people who have lived a life totally contrary to God and have heard the gospel preached and right there and then have turned their lives around in a dramatic road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus kind of way, and it's breathtaking to see that happen. I know a handful of people who have had that experience. And because I love redemption stories and because I love to hear how people came to faith in Jesus Christ, I frequently ask people for their story. And what I find with most people is it was a very slow journey. Maybe they grew up in the church and slowly after years of Sunday school and youth group and choir and worship services, it just sort of fell into place that they realized that they needed Jesus Christ. My own faith story is, you know, one of being in church, in the nursery in the Presbyterian Church in Willingboro since I was 2 weeks old, all the way through my first 18 years in that church, Sunday school, youth group, choir tours. But it wasn't until the fall, this time, right around this time in 1981, when I was away in college at a Bible study on the book of Romans, that I realized that I needed a Savior, and that was Jesus Christ. And I really fully asked him into my life and was saved, was born again, whatever word you want to use. 18 years of Sunday school. I know my Sunday school teachers were sharing the gospel. I know that. I know pastors at that church were preaching the gospel. Yet somehow it didn't sink its way into my heart until I was sitting after a Bible study alone on a hill outside of the Cook campus in New Brunswick when Jesus Christ was all of a sudden incredibly real to me. And this God I vaguely believed in became immensely personal and was my Savior. So sometimes it's a long road from the very first time we hear about Jesus until the time when we're ready to accept him as our Savior and our Lord. And we need to remember that as we're wanting to share our faith. You know, throughout the scriptures, the image of planting, of farming is used. You know, and one person planting the seed and one person watering and one person pulling the weeds and caring for the plant, and finally, one person who harvests the fruit. And somehow we think we are not being good Christians if we're not harvesting the fruit. You know, if we're not the one who's getting to say the salvation prayer with somebody. And we really do ourselves a disservice and do God's Spirit a disservice not to realize that all the work that went into producing that fruit was valuable. You know, if I never planted a seed, I would never harvest fruit. If somebody didn't water that seed, it would have died before it sprouted. If someone didn't weed it, the weeds would have choked that poor little seedling out. There were a lot of steps involved before I can pick a beautiful, ripe, red Jersey tomato. A lot of work had to go into that. And God uses his people in all different ways. And so we need to be sensitive to that as we try to share our faith, as we try to introduce people to Jesus. Because, you know, that's really what we're doing when we're trying to witness to people, is we're trying to introduce them to our friend, Jesus. I'm struck that Paul says that we put our shoes on with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. And I think that's a huge, important part of that, to be ready. You know, God invites us, instead of this life where we trust only in our own instincts, only in our own senses, what we can see and hear and taste and feel, he invites us into this life in union with his Spirit, where we do this dance, if you will, with the Holy Spirit, where he leads us and guides us and speaks to us and encourages us. And I think before we even begin to think about sharing our faith, it is so important that we are in that dance, that we are ready when God is ready for us to move. I don't know about you, but I have oftentimes barged right ahead of God, knocked him out of the way, and it's usually hardly ever worked out well. But when we're ready, when we're waiting, when we're asking God to open doors, when we're asking for that nudge of the Spirit, then he leads us to conversations, to responses, to people who are getting ready to hear God's good news. We need God through his Spirit to open the door. Sometimes we're trying to bang on a door that's closed tight. But we also need God's Spirit to nudge us when the door is open, because oftentimes we walk right by wide open door, not even paying attention to what God might be doing. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed that God would give me an opportunity to talk to someone, to love someone with the love of Jesus. And someone will flat out ask me a question that will take my breath away. Yeah, I didn't even have to do any work. I didn't have to screw up my courage. I didn't have to get out my Bible, my real big one, so I could hit somebody over the head with it. God just opened the door, and I just had to step through. And so that's part of being ready, that we're looking for those opportunities that God gives us. Paul tells us that we need to always be ready to give the reason for our hope. Sometimes we're in rough circumstances, and somebody's watching us go through it, and though it looks like we are plodding along and falling all over the place, sometimes people outside of us see God's grace in that, and they'll say, I don't know how you can go through that. There it is, open door, perfect opportunity to say, because I believe in a God whose power is made perfect in weakness, because I believe in a God who walks with me through the deepest and the darkest valleys. So we need to be ready. We talked a couple weeks ago, actually probably a couple months ago at this point, about asking God to bring to your mind some people who don't know him that maybe you could start praying for. Praying that God's going to soften their heart, praying that they're going to be ready to hear the words of eternal life, and that he's going to open a door for us to do that. And we shared that very night. Some of you shared the people that God had put on your hearts. And if that's somehow gotten to the back of your mind or the back of your to-do list or the bottom of your prayer prayer list, I encourage you tonight to think about those people that God put on your heart and to start praying for them again if you haven't been doing that. The readiness, these shoes that are ready, if you will, for the gospel of peace. I think sometimes as well, we need to have God remind us of the fullness of what the gospel is. Because sometimes we get so worked up about just getting people to sign on the dotted line, just to commit their lives to Jesus Christ so they can go to heaven, that we miss the fullness of the gospel. Now hear me. Getting to the point where you're ready to sign your name on the dotted line, where you're ready to say, Jesus Christ, I need you. My sin is out of control. I cannot do it on my own. I need you to come in and be my Savior and my Lord, is absolutely vitally essential in your walk with God. Vitally essential. Hear me. I don't want to make it sound like I am not saying that. But the good news of Jesus Christ is not only that he came to give his life so that we could go to heaven. Because sometimes we see, if we could just get people commit to Jesus, give them their get into heaven free ticket, we're done. We move on to somebody else. But Jesus did not come just so we could go to heaven. You know, we get all wrapped up thinking about how wonderful heaven's going to be, and, you know, what it's going to look like, and what we're going to do there, and who's going to be there. And not that there's anything wrong with that. But the reality of it is, no matter how many streets of gold, no matter how many crystal rivers flow in, no matter how many pearly gates there are, if Jesus is not there, it's hell. The only thing that makes heaven heaven is that's where Jesus is. And so as we give our lives to him, as we secure for ourselves, if you will, eternal life, what we're doing is we're entering into a relationship that starts now and goes on through all eternity. The fullness of the gospel is that God, for whatever reason, way beyond our understanding, wanted us to be his friends. And so God the Son became incarnate. He took on flesh, as Eugene Peterson said. He moved into the neighborhood. He lived this life for us so that he could die this death for us, to pay this debt that we owed, that we could not afford to pay. And when he did that, the whole world changed. Because we don't just get to go to heaven. We get to know God. Jesus, when he's praying his great prayer before he goes to the cross in John 17, says that he has come to give eternal life to those who will receive him. And he says, and this is eternal life. He's praying, talking to his Father. This is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And sometimes we get so caught up in the doctrine, in the theology, in all the other stuff, that we lose the wonder of what the gospel means. That we have eternal life, and this is eternal life. That we get to know the only true God. The one who created universes. The one who knows the number of stars. The one who speaks and the mountains melt like wax before him. The one who speaks and the nation trembles, who sets up kings and leaders and presidents and deposes them. Almighty God, infinite in power, holy, 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 the God who always was, the God who is, the God who is to come. That God, I am who I am, Yahweh. El Shaddai, God Almighty. El Elyon, the Lord of hosts. That God, beyond our wildest imaginings, wants to be our friend, wants to be in relationship with us, wants us to be able to walk into his very presence, even though we can't stand in his very presence, and we want to fall down on our knees before him, as we should, because he remains God. That God says to us, I'm now your Abba. I'm now your daddy, your papa, your intimate picture of a father and his child. That's what the gospel is about. We are no longer on our own. We are no longer dying in our own sin. We are no longer slaves to this broken world. But we are reunited with our Father, who is at the same time intimate and personal and yet breathtakingly beautiful. And this God who pledges his love to us in Jesus Christ, who made a covenant, an unbreakable promise with us in the blood of Jesus Christ, this God, God Almighty, says to us, I will never leave you or forsake you. No one can snatch you out of my hand. No matter what happens, good, bad, your fault, not your fault, bad choices, mistakes, all of that, all things I can work together for the good of those who love me, for my glory. The God who says even things that someone meant for evil, I can turn to good. The God who reminded David that even though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, God was with him, his rod and his staff, a reminder of his presence. Those are just some of the promises we find that God said yes to in Jesus Christ. Just a few of them. Jesus said, the thief has come to kill and steal and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. And that doesn't mean that we're going to get everything we want and we get a whole lot of possessions and riches. And you know, it may be. Sometimes God does that. But this abundant life, this life to the full, is this life we get to live in partnership with Jesus Christ. It's this gospel, this good news life, that all of a sudden we are transformed from citizens of this world to citizens of the kingdom of God. And so as we have our citizenship, if you will, in a city whose builder is God, as our loyalties are now to the kingdom of God, we become, if you will, ambassadors. As we walk through this life on this broken world that we live in, we now get to be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And as part of that, we get to share this incredible life that God gives us, this incredible love that he loves us with, the promise that when we receive Jesus and he seals us with his spirit, that the very same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. That greater is the one who lives in us than the one who is in the world. That's what we're sharing when we're sharing our faith. Heaven, absolutely, but richer and fuller and more amazing. Because eternal life, Jesus reminds us, is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. It's life changing. And if you're at the place where we sometimes get in our spiritual walk where it's not life changing, where it's not taking your breath away, where it feels like ho-hum, being a Christian means I come to church on Sundays and sometimes on Thursday, then I really invite you to take a step back. I really invite you to go back to the cross of Calvary and see exactly how costly God's love for you is. See the way God pursued you as he gave the life of his son in your place. to open up the scriptures and read the promises of God that are yours because of Jesus Christ, to ask him to open your eyes to see the wonder of what it means to be a child of God, of what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, of what it means to be a friend of God. It's amazing good news that we have to share. Your best friend may not be ready for all of that on one fell swoop over one cup of coffee. But I believe as we let Jesus press his resurrection life into us, as we spend time with him, as he transforms us, as we seek him and we see him answering our prayers, we will have opportunity to share him. Sometimes people just knowing that you are a person who prays. I am amazed, particularly through Facebook, at the prayer requests I get from people, people who send me messages and emails asking for prayer. Sometimes people who I'm not even sure believe in God, but they want somebody praying for them. And how many times, as I follow up with them, is it just an opportunity to remind them of the very first step of the gospel, and that's that God loves them and cares about them. So if you're not sure how to start that out, maybe just telling somebody you'll pray for them when they share their problem with you is a really good start. We have an incredible opportunity, and I love that these shoes with the readiness to preach the gospel is part of the armor of God. Because sometimes we think as we answer God's call to serve him, to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God, we think somehow that invites the enemy's attack. We need to be reminded that we are standing on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are out of harm's way. We're reminded as well that it's a gospel of peace, that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that he gives us a peace that is beyond understanding, that he says, peace I give you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. In the middle of the storm, in the middle of the rockiest moment, in the middle of the scariest night, Jesus reminds us, in this world you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Peace I leave you. My peace I leave you. We stand firm in the gospel of peace. And when we preach the gospel to other people, when we preach it to ourselves, we remind ourselves as well as telling them who God is, what his victory looks like, his promises and his truth, which stand firm forever. One of the things I love in the church about sacraments, and we have two in the Presbyterian Church, baptism and communion. One of the things I love about sacraments are a physical reminder of a spiritual reality. When a baby or a believer is baptized and that water is on their head, it's a symbol of how we're washed clean in Jesus Christ. When we take the bread and the cup and we break the bread and we share it and we share the cup, that bread and that cup somehow spiritually become for us the body and blood of Christ. Physical reminders of a spiritual truth. And even though there aren't all sacraments, God does that. He takes physical reminders and he reminds us of spiritual truth. And this is one I would love to leave you today as you think about having your feet set with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. As you put your shoes on tomorrow morning, that physical act of just putting your shoes on, it's a perfect opportunity to say, okay, God, I'm ready. What do you have for me today? Open up the doors. Nudge me with your spirit so that I'll go through. Bring the people into my path, whether it's on the phone, whether it's at work, whether it's on the internet. Bring people across my path that I can just love with your love today. If God's put people on your heart, that you would love to see be in relationship with him, that you would love to see know that they are loved by him and get a bite of this abundant life that he's offering. If you've forgotten to pray for them, start again right now. Start again tomorrow morning as you put on your shoes, as you're ready for whatever may come. It might be amazing. It might be really small. But when we are available to God and we tell him we're ready, we ask him to get us in tune with his spirit, we will see things happen. And I would love for the next week, as you put your shoes on, for you to pray that ready prayer and see by the end of the week if you have maybe a God story. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, more than anything, we would long for you to deepen our relationship with you. We would love it for our relationship with you to be the most important relationship in our life. God, we would long for you to be so real to us that it is as natural for us to talk about you as it is our spouse or our children or our parents or our best friend, because that's really what you are, our awesome God and our best friend all at the same time. God, help us to be ready to share your love with a world that is so broken. We cannot do that outside of your spirit, God, so help us walk in your spirit. God, show us how to do that, even if it looks stumbly in the beginning. Show us when the door is open, God. Give us that nudge, and then give us the discipline to walk through it, to say the word, to pray the prayer, to give the hug, to love someone who's so desperately in need of it, to encourage, whatever sharing you looks like. God, help us to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And Lord, I'm just asking that right now, if we don't already have somebody to pray for or somebody's, that you would bring to our mind right now, God, somebody who desperately needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. God, bring them to our mind. Put them in our heart. And Lord, lift those people up to you. We ask that you would be softening hearts. You would be putting people in their path who know you and love you. And God, you would be giving us opportunity to share your amazing love with them. God, we don't always know how to do it, but we want to be willing to do it. So show us how to be your ambassadors, to be people of light in a world of darkness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.